Well, good morning, church. Go ahead and open to Philippians chapter 4 this morning as we continue to talk about contentment. Everybody content this morning? Okay. Very good. You know, I may have mentioned last week, you know, the world defines contentment or peace or satisfaction in a very specific way. The world defines these things as the absence of conflict or the absence of problems. And that's not a biblical way to view these terms. Because if contentment truly is the absence of problems, then how are we ever supposed to be content? Because let's be honest, nobody is ever going to have a complete and total absence of any problems in their life. That's just not the way that it is. That's not realistic. And yet God tells us, you should be content. As my people, you should be content because I will provide for you. I will take care of you. Therefore, you, my people, you should be content in all things at all times. So obviously, the absence of problems is not what it means to be content. And we've talked a little bit about what that actually means, but we've been going through and looking at the Apostle Paul, a man who we know walked with the Lord, a man who we know honored the Lord, served the Lord, glorified the Lord, a man who was used by the Lord for some of the most amazing things in church history. Literally half of the New Testament, God used Paul to write. And we find in his writings, as we come to Philippians 4, that Paul makes this grand statement to the Philippian church and to us today. He says, I have found the secret. I have found the secret to contentment. I know what it is to be content. I've learned what it means to be content in all things. And he shares that secret with us. And we began looking at that last week and understand, as we dive into the message today, this is not a new message. This is part two of what we began last week. So before we dive into what the secret of contentment is, I want to kind of review very quickly what we saw from Paul last week. Because Paul gave us three of the elements to contentment last week. So very quickly, go back to Philippians 4, verse 10. It says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. And the first element that Paul gave to us is Paul was a content individual because he trusted, he had confidence in the providence of God. Paul had complete and total assurance, complete and total trust that God is in control of all things at all times. Therefore, I have absolutely nothing to worry about. Because if something is meant to happen, God will make sure that it happens. If something is not meant to happen, then God will see that it does not happen. Paul was completely and totally assured, confident, trusting that God is in control. God is using all things, whether good circumstances or bad circumstances. God will use all of those things for the spiritual betterment and the spiritual well-being of his children. That is a biblical assurance, a biblical promise. God works all things together for good for those that who? Love him and are what? Called according to his purpose. So Paul was completely assured, completely confident. God is in control. Anything that happens, God is working it out that way. God is making sure that it happens that way because in the end, it is going to be for my spiritual betterment. And when we understand that and we trust that and we walk and live in that truth, then we're content. And understand, church, that is the foundational piece. That is what we build contentment upon. We have to understand this. We have to know this. We have to live in this. If we do not get this point, then it doesn't matter if we understand and try to do the rest of them because there will be nothing to build them upon. This is the foundation upon which we build contentment upon, that our God, our Father, is in control of all things, and we trust in his providence to bring about his purpose. And then verse 11, Paul says, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Paul was letting the Philippians know, you know, they had sent him a gift, and he was saying, thank you for the gift. Thank you for thinking of me. Thank you for serving me. Thank you for trying to minister to me. I really appreciate your thought. I appreciate your concern. I appreciate your love. But I want to make sure that we're clear. I'm not thanking you out of a position of want. I'm not thanking you out of a position of need, because everything that I need, I already have. And we see the second element of contentment is being satisfied with little. Paul was a very content individual, not because he had everything, not because he was vastly wealthy, not because he had absolutely nothing in the world he could possibly want, but because he was satisfied with little. Scripturally speaking, God makes it very clear. We are to be content, because if our needs are met, then we're to be content with the fact that our needs are met. And our needs are actually very, very simple. And they're very, very few. Our needs are food and clothing. I know you're waiting for me to add to that list, but I'm not going to, because there's nothing else to the list. That is the list. That is what our needs are. And I know that flies in the face of the culture and society in which we live, because when the time that we live, the society in which we live, literally everything has become a need. Whether it's a want or not, everything has become a need. Advertisements, everything is described as, you need this. You don't want this. You don't desire this. You need this. You need to be happy. You need to be satisfied. And understand, it's not going to happen until you get this. But Paul was an incredibly content, peaceful, satisfied individual, not because he had everything, but because he was satisfied with little. And remember, he's saying this. He's saying this from jail. He's saying this from prison. He's saying this while literally physically chained to two Roman guards. And he lived that way for 2 years. And even in the midst of that, Paul's statement about his life, his outlook on life, his outlook upon the Lord is, I'm content because my needs are met. As long as my needs are met, I'm content, because I know ultimately that God is in control and God is working it all together for my spiritual well-being. And then lastly, verse 12, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And the last element to contentment that we saw from Paul last week was living independently from circumstances. Understand, I don't mean that we ignore circumstances. I don't mean that we ignore situations that we're in. What Paul is saying is, I don't allow my circumstances to dictate whether or not I am content, or whether or not I am at peace, or whether or not I am satisfied in the Lord. That's what he's saying. That's what it means to live independently of our circumstances. To understand that regardless of what happens now, I'm not actually living for now. My focus is not upon right now. My focus is eternal. My focus is heavenly. My focus is, Lord, what would you have me do, and how would you use me to impact your kingdom? Because ultimately, our focus is eternal, not temporal. And so Paul says, I know how to do with a lot. I know how to do with a little. I know how to be hungry. I know how to be full. And I'm content regardless, because satisfaction, contentment is not found in circumstances. It's found in living above those circumstances, beyond those circumstances. So those were the first three elements of contentment that we saw from the Apostle Paul. And today we're going to dive into a fourth one. Yes, just a fourth one, not a fourth, fifth, and sixth, not anything like that. So good news, guys. Only one main point today. Aren't you excited? You don't have to be that excited about it. I saw some of you going, oh, yes. I saw that. We will have words after the service. But go ahead and look at Philippians 4, verse 13, as we dive into what is the fourth element of contentment from the life of the Apostle Paul. He says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So what is the fourth element of contentment? It is being sustained by divine power. Being sustained by divine power. Paul was an individual who was actually physically, he was physically sustained by the strength and by the power of God. That is how he lived his life. That is how he endured and did so much in his life, because he knew, he was sustained by, he experienced actual divine power from the Lord. That is what he did. That is how he lived his life. And you see, in his life, Paul came to understand something. He came to understand that no matter how difficult things are in the material world, there's actually always a spiritual undergirding to them. And that's what he's kind of getting at here with this verse. And what I mean by that is that our adequacy or our sufficiency, it's not found in ourselves. It's found in being attached to the adequate and sufficient one. Remember a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about what does the word contentment mean? And the word contentment literally translates to self-sufficient. But what Paul is actually talking about, what the scriptures refer to and describe when we're talking about contentment, it's not a self-sufficiency in that we find complete and total satisfaction and peace and contentment in ourselves. It's we actually find this in the person of Christ. And when we find it in the person of Christ, then we're able to live as the Apostle Paul lived, where he says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Paul was sustained by the sufficiency of Christ. And if we're going to be content, then we have to come to this point where we are sustained, not by ourselves. We have to be sustained by the sufficiency and power of Christ. Because until we come to that point, it all goes back to the very first point, the providence of God. Until we come to that point, then what we're really doing with our life is trying to make sure that I'm in control of everything. I'm in control of it all. I can make sure that I stay afloat. I can make sure that I can do everything that needs to be done in my own power, in my own strength, in my own wisdom, because ultimately it all depends and relies upon me. And you see, that is what this verse is truly talking about. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. What Paul is really saying here is at the end of his own resources. So when he comes to the end of his own human resources, it is then that he experiences the sustaining power of Christ until a provision can be made. When we come to the end of our own resources, we are forced to then rely upon the sustaining power of Christ, because we're no longer depending upon ourselves. We are only depending upon him, because we have nothing left to depend upon. And I know this verse gets misused. This verse gets misquoted and misapplied quite frequently. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All right, guys, gather around. We're going to go out there today and we're going to win this game because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I'm going to stop eating because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm going to stop drinking water because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If that's what you think this verse means, then you let me know how long you make it without drinking any water. Personally, I've made it 4 weeks. Because Mountain Dew is an efficient substitute for water. And if you don't believe me, I am actual physical proof standing here in front of you because I will indeed go weeks on end without drinking water. That being said, I drink a lot more water now. It's just mixed in with lemonade and tea. But no, this is not a verse that is saying you can do superhuman, supernatural, physical things. That's not what this verse is talking about. Now, while this verse is not talking about those things, I do believe, based on the context and based on the word usage, that Paul is talking about the physical world. Okay, he's not saying that he could go forever without ever eating again or go forever without ever drinking again. That's not what he's saying. But he is saying, I can actually do all things. I can endure all things. I can go through absolutely anything because at the end of the day, it's not about me. It's not about my strength because I am actually girded by and I am sustained by the power of Christ living within me. So he's saying the life that I live, the life that I am going through right now, it's not actually my life. This is the life of Christ being lived out in me, which is actually, go back to Galatians 2:20. That is what Paul is talking about in that passage. He's saying, I live not according to myself. I live not according to my own desires. I live not according to my own wants or my own needs, but I live according to the power, the strength, and the direction of Christ in my life. That is what he is saying. That is the truth that he is pulling out in this passage. And I know you guys are waiting for an illustration, so I'm going to give you an illustration. Flip over to 2 Corinthians 12. And again, an illustration, an example from the very life of Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In this passage, Paul is talking about his own weaknesses, the things that he has had to deal with, the things that he has had to struggle with in his own life. Look at 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, if I can find it. It says, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. So understand, as we've already said, Paul was used for some incredible things. He was used to perform miracles. He was used to see thousands of people come to faith in Christ. He was used to plant churches all across the world. He was used to pen half of the New Testament. Paul was able to see God and experience God in a way that was unique to just about anybody else that had ever lived. And in all of those experiences, it would have been very easy to begin facing a temptation of Paul beginning to think of himself more highly than he should. To begin falling into the sin of pride. To begin becoming conceited, thinking that he was something and not God is everything. And so in response to this, in order to keep this from happening, God gave him a thorn in the flesh, which is described as a messenger of Satan to harass him. There are literally dozens of different guesses of what this thorn, what this messenger of Satan could have been and could have been doing. That's not really the point, though. The point is God gave him this thorn in the flesh for the purposes of keeping Paul humble. Now look at verse 8. Paul says, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. Paul doesn't want it. He's not thankful for it. He wants this thing removed. And so he goes to God time after time after time. He says, Lord, please remove this thorn from my flesh. Deliver me from this harassment that I am experiencing, that I am facing. Please remove it from me. And then verse 9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So what God is actually saying here to Paul says, God, please remove this thorn from me. Remove this burden that I am facing, that I am dealing with, that I'm struggling with. Please remove it from me. And God's response is, no. I'm going to leave it there. Because Paul, I want you completely and totally dependent upon me. God is literally saying to Paul, I'm going to cast you upon myself. And what does Paul say to that? He says, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses, because it's only in weakness, it is only in our own weakness that we can actually experience and know the very strength and power of God. Which means, I'm going to say this, and it's going to make everybody very uncomfortable. We should actually be praying for enough distress in our life that we are forced to fully cast ourselves upon the Lord so that we can actually live in the sustaining power and strength of God. Because understand, just like what Paul says here, we will not know his strength, we will not know his power, we will not experience it or live in it until we have been brought to the end of our human resources. Until we come to the very physical end of ourselves, we cannot fully be sustained by the power of God. Because until we are at the end of ourselves, we will continue to rely upon ourselves. We will continue to rely upon our strength and our power. And until we come to the point where we recognize and we realize and we see, I don't have any strength. I don't have any power. Until we come to that point, we will never live sustained by the power of Christ. I'll give you a minute to digest that. Because I'm going to be perfectly upfront with you guys. I don't like that. I know the pastor shouldn't say something like that because the pastor's supposed to be like more spiritual than everybody else. But I think you guys know me well enough to know that's not right. But that is biblical truth. That is biblical revelation. We will not know the physical power and strength of God in our life until we come to the end of ourselves. That is why Paul was boasting in the strength of Christ. That is why Paul was saying, I can do all things. I can do all things through what? Through the power of Christ. I can do anything because I am sustained by the power and the strength of Christ in my life. How, Paul? Because he came to the end of himself. He came to the end of himself. He came to recognize and to see and to understand not only his weaknesses, but he understood that it was in his weakness that God shone most strongest. And while I don't necessarily like this, because I don't want to look for opportunities to be brought to the end of myself, I can say from personal experience that that's true. Being brought to the end of yourself, that is when you see the divine power of God truly manifest and truly take shape in your life. When me and Laura first found out that we were pregnant with Karis, like we had been discussing and we had been talking about possibly starting our family and all that kind of stuff. But we hadn't necessarily come out and just said, okay, you know what? Let's just go for it. Let's just go ahead and have a baby. We hadn't like come to that point yet. We were just kind of like floating the idea around and like getting used to it. Laura was like ready. I was more like, I don't know. Is there like, can we like get a puppy or something? That's kind of like where I was at. And so one day, and the Lord kind of brought this about, you know, we're together, we're at home, and I just look at her and I just kind of had this like wave come around. I was like, you know, if we were pregnant right now, I think I'd be okay with that. And she goes, funny you should say that. Because I'm pregnant. I was like, excuse me? You're what? She goes, yeah, I took the test this morning. I didn't really know how to tell you, but you made it really easy. I was like, well, I'm so glad I could make it easy for you. And so when she tells me this, I go from that moment of, you know what? I think I'd be okay if we were going to have a baby. I go from that to, oh my gosh, we're going to have a baby. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Because, like you got to take care of kids, right? Like, you got to feed them and clothe them and things. And like, I can't even dress myself. I don't know how this is supposed to work. And so I start freaking out. And for about 24 hours, I am just in like pure tailspin mode. Like, I'm just crashing and burning at this point. Like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to proceed. I'm just completely and utterly terrified with the direction my life suddenly seems to be going. And after about 24 hours, I kind of come to a place where I am just sitting there on the couch. I'm in the living room. And I called out to the Lord. I said, God, I have absolutely no idea what I'm going to do. I have absolutely no idea how I am going to do anything. How am I going to provide for this kid? How am I going to pay for doctor's appointments? How am I going to pay for food? How am I going to do things? Because little thing they don't tell you, when you have kids, your budget goes way up. And I learned that. And so I'm just calling out to the Lord. I'm just saying, God, please help me, because I can't do this. There are so many things about this that I am not ready for. There are so many things about this that I just cannot do. So God, would you please take this from me? Would you please just make everything okay? And you know what? He did. I didn't get like a big financial windfall or anything like that. Nothing really changed about life. But what did change was I came to this point in my life where I realized I'm completely and totally dependent upon God. And if God doesn't show himself, if God doesn't show and reveal his provision, his strength, his power, then I'm lost. I am in complete and total need and dependence upon God. And it was when I came to that place, I came to the very end of myself, of my own resources, I came to that point and that realization where, you know what? I'm okay now. As strange as that sounds, when I came to the point where I was realizing and understanding, I am at the end of myself, which means I am now completely and totally dependent upon the Lord. When I came to that point, that was when I knew contentment. And I was content for the rest of the time because I knew God's got it. God's in control. God's going to provide. God's going to do what he's going to do. And he's going to do it in his timing. He's going to provide the opportunities that need to be provided. I knew that. I trusted in that. And so I was content. And church, that is what Paul is describing when we come back to Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I want to break this down for us, okay? Because I haven't really broken this down yet. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That phrase, I can do. I mean, it literally is. I've been saying this throughout the entire message, but it literally means to be strong. That's how you translate that word in Greek. It literally means to be strong. And it's translated in a lot of different ways in the New Testament. It's translated as overpowered. It's translated prevailed. It's translated as effective. There are a lot of ways that it's translated in the New Testament. But at its core, this is a word of strength, but not just general strength. This is actually a word of physical strength. I am physically strengthened. I am physically empowered by what? by the strength of Christ in all things. Now, in all things, or I can do all things, if we just leave that phrase like on its own, that's a very general phrase, like all things. What is that really supposed to mean? Which is why it's always very important to read things in context, because verse 13 is not an island. It comes after verse 12, which comes after verse 11. So verse 11, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So what is he talking about when he says all things? He's talking about physical circumstances. He's saying, I am strong enough. I am strong enough to face and to deal with absolutely anything. Not because I myself am strong. Not because I myself am powerful. But because I am strengthened by the power and the strength of Christ in me. So he's saying, so as a result, I can go without food for a while. I can go without clothing for a little while. I can go without warmth. I can go without comfort. I can go without freedom. I can go without anything. I can endure pain. I can endure loss. I can do absolutely anything through the power of Christ in me. I can face all of that. I can endure all of that. Because I have that divine power of Christ within me. You ever know anybody with a pacemaker, or anybody here have a pacemaker? It's one of those things, it's a nifty little tool, but it's not something that is constantly and always working. It's something that only begins to do something if your heart needs it. If your heart begins to falter, if your heart begins to fail in some way, then the pacemaker jumps in and takes over the slack that your heart is unable to do. And church, in a very real way, that is a description of what we have. We have this divine resource within us, and it's always there. But unfortunately, because we go through life more dependent upon ourselves and trying to rely upon our resources for things, we never really tap into it. We don't tap in to this great divine reservoir of power that is within us because of the very presence of God in our life, because we're too busy focusing on this little shallow puddle that is ours. And what Paul is saying, and he makes very clear, I came to the end of myself. And in coming to the end of myself, I began to live and experience and be sustained totally by the very power and strength of Christ within me. So the question for us this morning, church, is very simple. Have you experienced that divine power? Have you experienced that divine power of God in your life? Have you come to that point? Have you been brought to that point where you are at the end of yourself? You are at the end of your physical human resources. There's nothing left to do. You have no more strength. You have no more power. The only thing that you can do is rely upon the strength and power of God. If you haven't been brought to that point yet, then chances are you haven't been brought to that point because you just aren't allowing yourself to be brought there. Rather than coming to a situation, coming to a circumstance and throwing yourself upon the Lord, casting yourself upon him, upon his strength, upon his power, upon his wisdom, upon his direction. Rather than doing that, you continue to hold on to yourself, to hold on to your strength and to your power, which, let's be honest, is minuscule. Compared to the vastness and the greatness of God, we are nothing. We have nothing. And church, if we're going to be content, if we're going to live in contentment with who we are, with where we are, with who God is and what he has done and what he has blessed, what he has withheld, if we're going to live in contentment of that, then we have to be living in his power. Because as long as we're living in our own, then we're not really trusting. We're not really believing. We're not really living in the truth that God is sovereign. That he is sovereignly, providentially working all things together to bring about his purpose and to bring about the good for his children. But when we believe that, we trust in that, and we walk in that truth, that's when we actually begin to fully trust and to fully experience, to fully know what it means to be sustained by the power and strength of God in us. And understand, coming to that point, Paul saying, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. It'd be very easy to look at that statement, look at Paul and say, well, if that's true, then why don't you bust out of jail? If that's true, why don't you leave these chains behind? Why don't you go back out and do what you've been doing? Why are you remaining in prison for 2 years? Why would you do that? If you can do all things through him who strengthens you, why would you do that? Because it's not about a superhuman effort. It's about understanding and recognizing and living in a very important truth that my life in Christ, my contentment and my peace in Christ, it is not dependent upon my circumstances. My circumstances cannot change the reality of who God is. My situation cannot change the goodness of my Father, the strength and the power of my Father. When we begin to live in and be sustained by the power of God, understand, I'm not telling you that by doing that, everything's going to be fixed, that your problems are magically going to be erased, they're magically going to go away. That's actually not the case at all. Paul was still in prison. He was still living in chains. He was still living in a position where it was very, very difficult to share the gospel with people the way he had been. But you know what? God always provides. God always brings a way. And while the problem itself may not be erased, it may not be fixed, it may not be removed, when we're living in and relying upon the power and the strength of God, we're resting in the fact that regardless of what happens with that circumstance, God is in control. Therefore, I can face it. I can go through it. I can endure it, whatever it may be. Because at the end of the day, I have the very power of Christ, the very strength of Christ within me. And he empowers me. He emboldens me each and every day through each and every circumstance. So if you need to experience that power, you need to experience that strength of God, then maybe you need to take a few moments today and actually cast yourself upon him. Stop trying to hold on to your strength, your own power, and instead come to the end of yourself. Come to the end of your resources and begin living in and being sustained by the resources of your Heavenly Father. So however the Lord is moving, however he is working and speaking to you this morning, I encourage you to respond. Come forward and lay it down at the altar. Spend some time where you're sitting and lay it down there. But respond to the Lord, however he is moving and speaking to you. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Apostle Paul, for teaching him the secret of contentment, for revealing to us that same secret. And Father, I pray that as we go forward from here today, Lord, may we be content. May we be content in all circumstances, in all situations, whether they're good or whether they're bad. Father, may we be content with it because we know, we trust in your providence. And we're being sustained by your power and your strength within us. Lord, do that work. Bring that truth to reality. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.